Just a little aside. Most of the time, when I come home from church, I'm very wide awake. Now, the people in the congregation, well, I put them to sleep. But I think what it is that when we open our hearts and we praise the Lord and we worship Him, He pours His life into us. And so if I come in tired, most of the time I go out refreshed because I've been in God's presence. And so we have to learn these lessons. It's for your good, for now and for eternity. And so it would be wise for us to take heed to the things we've heard in these testimonies this morning, the things God has been saying to us. I just wanted to remind you that we began these 2 weeks with that thought that God was going to speak to us, and He wanted us to listen. God has something to say. He's speaking today. And I know He's been speaking to all our hearts. And so may we take something with us. If you take your Bibles, we'll open to Luke 19. When we started out last week, it seemed like a long way to go. But now we're here. We're at the end. Number 9. This parable is set in the chapter where we have the story of Zacchaeus. I guess it was at Easter time. I was given a part in the Easter program. I wasn't the angel. I was Zacchaeus. I don't know why. And they had me sing the Donut Man song about Zacchaeus. Something about I'm short and not too pretty, but I'm the richest man in the city. Oh, I'm short and fat, and that's right. So I said to my kids, I have to put a pillow in it. No, Dad, you're doing fine, just the way you are. You had to add that, huh, honey? That's right, I did sing that. And there I was singing that in front of all these people. I'm saying, Lord. But you know how that story ends, and it says, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's start in the back again with Sister Heidi. We'll start at verse 11 and we'll read through the 27th verse.
The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. And because He was nearing Jerusalem, He told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away.
He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return.
Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come.
But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over.
At his return, having received the authority to be king, he summoned those slaves he had given the monies to so he could find out how much they had paid in business.
The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more.
Well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you. So you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward.
The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more.
His master answered, you take charge of 5 slaves.
And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin.
I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.
And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow.
Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?
And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas.
But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas.
For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him.
But those enemies of mine who did not want to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.
I was reading this last night with my daughter, Caitlin. And I asked her, now, what does this mean? And she gave me a very good answer. But I told her I wouldn't call on her this morning. But there is some valuable or very important lessons for us to take from this. And I think especially in regard to our time here at camp and our leaving camp, as we heard. But first of all, let's just try to go through our outline again. And what's the context here? It was given to us right at the very beginning. He was nearing Jerusalem, and there was expectation that somehow the kingdom of God would appear. Maybe they thought that Jesus was going to be king right now. You know, some of his disciples were hoping that he would just take charge and overthrow the Romans and cause a revolt to happen and just, you know, set up his kingdom. And so he wanted to correct that thinking. And he often had taught them about the kingdom of God and what it meant, and tried to explain to them that it wasn't an earthly kingdom. It was something that was beyond this world, as it were. It was a spiritual kingdom. And it was hard for them to grasp that. And so he speaks this parable to them, and he speaks this parable to us. And we know the story, right? A man, the earthly story is that a noble man, a man of noble birth, went to a distant country to be made king with the intent of returning. And so before he goes, he calls together his servants. Someone read slaves, right? Did I hear that in one of the translations? His slaves. He calls them together and he gives them each some money, a pound. And what does he tell them to do with that? John, what are they supposed to do? Verse 13, I'll give you help. 13. Occupy. What do you think that word means? Occupy. That's the King James, right? Well, keep busy with what I've given you. Use that money. You know, do something with it. Get busy with it. Trade with it. Put it to good use. Occupy till I come back. And then verse 14 adds another, maybe somewhat of a parallel story in this account, because now there are those who are not his servants. I think one translation said citizens, another said subjects. It says his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. All right, and that's how then the story progresses. He is made king. He returns home, and what does he do when he comes back? He says, okay, my servants come, and they come before him. Give account now. What have you done with what I gave you? And so what's the response? Some come, and how many do they have? 10. From one he got 10, and another one got 5 more. And then there's one who comes and says, well, I didn't really do anything, Lord. Here's your 1 pound. And so what does he say? Well, to the servants that did something with what he had given them, he rewards them. He commends them. Good and faithful servant. And you were faithful in one. I'm going to make you now ruler over 10 cities in my kingdom. But this one that didn't do anything and made excuses, was he happy with that servant? No, it would be an understatement, right? He was he was pretty angry. He made excuses why he didn't do anything. And the master says, I'll judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. Take the mina from him. Give it to the one who has 10. But Lord, he's got 10 already. I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even that he has will be taken away. And then he adds this at the very end to finish that other story that was going on. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Now, that's the story. Now, what does it mean? What was Jesus trying to teach the people around him? What was the message for them? Well, let's start. Who do you think the one of noble birth is? Do you think it's Jesus? Do you think he was talking about the time that he was going to go back to heaven to ascend to his Father? And now this time in between is the time that we're living in now? I think that could be, and we're waiting for him to come back. And so the message throughout the ages to the followers of Jesus is, here, I've given you something to work with. I've entrusted you with something as my servant. Now, occupy, get busy, do something with that, so that when I return, you'll have something more to give. So how could we apply that to us? What do you think that would mean for us? Or what's the spiritual meaning behind that? I'm not sure if there's a right answer here, so I'll take any answer. What's this pound or this amount? Now you remember there's another parable that's very similar to this, right? In Matthew, similar parable, maybe told on different occasions, I'm not sure. But certainly the details of the parable are different. And in that parable, everyone gets a different amount. One gets five, right? And one gets two, and one gets one. And the same thing happens. The one who has five, he gains five more. The one who has two gains two more. And the one who has one says, Lord, I didn't do anything. And a similar thing. There's judgment on the one who was lazy, so to speak, who didn't consider the Lord's command to really apply to him, to occupy, to work with what he has given us. So this one's slightly different in the sense that everyone gets the same. So could we maybe venture? What do you think that would be? What has God given to each one of us?
He's giving us something that we can use to serve him, or a talent. You say talents, I guess, like Phil plays music well. I know how to bake. Whatever talent God has given you, don't hide it in your home. Use it for good and God's glory.
Amen. Amen. So we're all not the same, right? And so God blesses us different ways, and we don't all serve in the same way. But he calls us all to serve him. All right, anyone else? What could the 1 pound be that we all receive?
The life, the time. Somebody is strong, somebody weak, somebody very healthy, somebody maybe have some sickness.
Okay.
But they all can serve.
Okay, so he's given us life.
Yeah.
He's given us health. All right? Someone else.
He's given us salvation.
Okay, all of us. See, he makes the distinction, I think, between his servants, and then there's this other group of people, the citizens of that country, who say, we don't want you to be our king. And so for his servants, he's given them salvation. We all, if we belong to Jesus, have been saved by his blood. We belong to him. He's put his life in us. He's given us new life. All right? So now what do you do with that new life that he's given you?
Hide it.
You hide it? No. No. Good answer. No. I just want to, I think the verse was quoted this morning. I think Dad quoted it. It talks about how we're saved. It says we're saved by grace through faith. Is that right? Am I quoting it right? Ephesians chapter 2. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know that our salvation is not based on works, right? But then the very next verse says, what? Dad quoted it. We are his workmanship, created to do what? to do good works. To do good works. And if our salvation doesn't produce life and the fruit of the Spirit and blessing to others, then I think there's something wrong with us. Everyone got the pound. And he instructs his servants, now do something with that gift of life, the new life I've given to you. It seems that there always is a difference in the results. I'm thinking also now of the parable of the sower and the seed. Right? The word of God is the same. The seed is the same. The seed is the same. It's good seed. But the results are different. And so it requires a diligence on our part. What are you doing with the blessing of salvation that God has entrusted to you? That life that he's put within you ought to beget life. Your life ought to be a blessing to others. Now, I just thought about here at camp. Have you received something from God that you're going to take with you when you leave? What are we going to do with that? We call it the blessing. God has blessed us. Well, what are we going to do with what God has worked in our hearts? Are we going to hide it, as it were? Hide it up in a napkin and then come back next year and say, God, you know, I didn't slip back. You know, here's still your pound. I still got it, but nothing else. I haven't grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing has taken place in my life. But God, I'm still back here at Pilgrim Camp and I have your pound. You think God will be happy with that? I don't think so. He would call us wicked servants if we didn't take what he's entrusted to us and reproduce and be busy about his work, blessing others, serving him. We all go back to churches, I trust. Are you going to bring something back to your congregation, your body of Christ, that will cause others to want to know Jesus better? Will you be willing to serve? Maybe God is wanting you to be a Sunday school teacher, or maybe he wants to use you to witness to the people that you are employed with, or the people that we go to school with. Are we going to hide it and just kind of keep it buried? You know, God blesses us not for ourselves. And sometimes we think that. You know, Lord, bless me and work in my life. And yes, that's right and good, but the end result has to be that I bless others and that I share his life with others. Now, I'm sure there's more that we could try to interpret here in this story, but just to keep it right here, I think that let's not neglect what God has done for us, not only here at camp, but if he has saved you, then you have a responsibility to serve him and to be about his business, to be engaged in the work that he wants you to do. Just one more verse that comes to mind. This thought of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Have you heard that? Where is that found? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is working in you. That's Philippians, right? Philippians 2. And I looked that up because that's an interesting verse. How do I work out my salvation? How do I cause there to be this growth, as it were? Well, the picture there, the I guess in the original, is of a field. It's from a farming illustration. So God gives you a field, whatever it may be. I have a little plot of grass that's maybe 15 feet by 12 feet. That's my lawn. And I bought my son an electric mower so he doesn't have to work too hard to cut that. But that's my little field. Right? But now what does God say? That's the field I've given you. Now you've got to work that out. You've got to till that ground. You've got to plant the crop. You've got to bring about the harvest. I expect a harvest of righteousness in your life. And, you know, so it's up to us then to take care of that field, to cultivate it, to grow those crops. And God has invested something in each one of our lives, and He wants there to be a harvest. He wants to see those plants shoot up and be able to say, you've taken care of that plot of ground. Now I'm going to give you more. I'm going to enlarge your plot. And so I'm challenged because sometimes we, again, forget why God pours His blessing, His life, His salvation into our lives. It's not for me. It's so that others can be blessed. It's so that His kingdom can go forward and grow in this earth. Now, for the ones who said, I don't want this man to reign over us, there's judgment. There's judgment for them. Let's choose to make Jesus our King. Lord, I want You to reign over me. I truly want to be Your servant. And so as we go from our time here at camp, Lord, cause us to go on and to serve You with all our hearts. Lord, we don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be indifferent to this work of God, this work of grace. God is at work in each one of us. And so, Lord, we want to respond in faith to You and just yield ourselves to You. Lord, have Your way. Make our lives all that You want them to be for Your glory and for the furtherance of Your kingdom. Lord, forgive us when we bury, as it were, when we hide away this great work that You have done in our lives. Forgive us, Lord. Make us faithful servants. Lord, we believe that You will give us opportunities to serve You every day and help us to offer ourselves willingly. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. My life, my love, I give to Thee, Thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. my God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Someone pray with us, please, in closing.
Lord, we thank you for this wonderful salvation that you have given each one of us, and for the talents that you give each of us, and for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us while we've been
Jesus,
up here at the camp.
Jesus.
I pray, Lord, that we will work for you and be occupied with your work,
yes,
as
Lord.
We go to our homes, Lord. Make us a blessing. Let our lives be fruitful and
yes,
help
Lord.
Us to grow in you and to get to know you better and better,
yes,
Lord. To fall in love with you and to want to serve you with gladness. And,
yes, Lord.
And be a blessing to everyone that we meet. You work it out in our lives, Lord, and we give ourselves to you,
yes,
and believe that you will do it in your precious name.
Amen. 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 Let's allow the Holy Spirit to write these things upon our hearts. And as we go through this day, let's meditate upon them. How precious His Word is to us. So let's walk carefully before Him. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, I'm not my own. Lord, I belong to you. The Lord bless you as you go.